Hi there, and welcome to another interview. I've got an enthralling story for you today. A little bit of a pun there on the name. I've got the wonderful Cameron with me, and I'm going to ask Cameron the same question I ask absolutely everybody. Hey, Cameron, why did you become carnivore?
Well, Steve, I became carnivore for a number of reasons, but the story goes back a long ways from my suffering as a child. And as a kid growing up, I grew up on a farm. You think living on a farm, we'd have all the beef and all the eggs and everything to eat, all the dairy, but we're kind of poor, so we only ate a lot of processed foods. But anytime I did eat, I always ate a double cheeseburger, you know what I mean? But I always had to have the bread, eggs, always had to have the bread with it, you know what I mean? Bacon, we'd get the bacon, we'd stuff it in the bread. And I was always a big kid, and I never knew why, because we're so active all the time. We're outside all the time, always swimming, always running around, always playing tag. And then just growing up, getting bigger and bigger. By the time I was in middle school, I was probably 200 plus pounds. That was a heavyweight middle school for wrestling. And, still very active, very strong growing up on the farm, lifting weights all the time, lifting hay bales, doing all that kind of stuff. And the time I get to about high school, I don't know, I'm probably 240 pounds and pretty strong. I was benching 250 plus pounds, very active. I was doing zero period is one of those classes before school. You'd go and you'd start lifting weights, and then you'd go to school. You'd start school after that. So I was always waking up early in the morning, going, lifting weights, and then you'd go to school. And I didn't really focus on school because I had migraines and different health issues like back pain and inflammation all over my body. And it still didn't know why, you know, and doctors use, oh, you're a big kid, so you got all these issues. They never really talked about diet and stuff like that. And I don't know, it was a lot of suffering. There was times where, you know, I'm like, gosh, I'm going so hard all the time. I got zero period. I got weightlifting. I got practice and working out three times a day and getting to the point where it's like, gosh, you know, I'm losing tons of weight at night, but then I'm gaining it all back the next day because I'm eating all the time. I'm eating probably 10,000 calories a day at that point because I'm working out all the time, but what I'm eating wasn't the right things. And I'm wishing, you know, thinking back, wishing they would have told us what to eat, but they didn't. You know, it was like, this is food, eat it. And I was like, oh, this is food. I'm just going to pound it down. And it was, I don't know, it's life opening now, know what I don't know, but going through, I did a lot of sports. I did wrestling, football, track and field, and equestrian. And I did that all throughout the year. And in the summer, I'd be out in the hay fields throwing hay bales. I could throw hay bales farther than everybody else because I had the weight behind me to throw it to. You know, I don't think I'd throw them as high now, but I could definitely throw them high back then with that 260 pounds behind me. And I always loved meat. Ate tons of meat all the time, but it was always combined with carbs. You know what I mean? We had pasta. I'd always have to make sure I had tons of the meat from the pasta, but always had tons of the pasta with it. And I guess not everyone was looking at health, because even before our big games on Friday, they'd make us pasta. It was spaghetti before the Friday night football game. And they just load us up on carbs, carb loading, right? And that was the thing, carb loading, always carb loading. Tons of whey protein, tons of carbs, tons of creatine, just bulking up for season. Got to the point where I'd benching over 300 pounds, breaking records at the high school. You know, I'm not a tall guy. I'm 5'7" at 260 pounds. You know, that's a lot of weight behind a little guy. But I was starting linemen on defense and offense. We went to state championships. We won in double overtime, which was pretty exciting. But through all that old time, I was just tons of pain, my back pain. My doctor at 16 was giving me Vicodin and Flexerols for my inflammation, and I couldn't sleep at night. I had carpal tunnel. And as a 16-year-old, you know, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. My doctor's like, well, you're about double your age. And that's the way it's going to be the rest of your life. And I'm like, well, that sucks. You know what I mean? And like, all I got now is sports. So what am I going to do? I guess I'm just going to suffer through it because the only thing I got to live for is sports. So I told the doctor, you know, I'm going to skip out on the carpal tunnel surgery till I graduate. That way I can still play sports. And that carpal tunnel was horrible. I couldn't sleep at night. I'd wake up, you know, head on the pillow, fall asleep, head on the pillow, wake up on the other side of the bed where my feet should be, you know what I mean? Because I was just spinning all the time in my sleep. And my hands would just, I'd wake up and I couldn't turn my alarm off on the clock because my hands were just completely numb. And I went through that for years. And I didn't think nothing really of it because my mom had carpal tunnel surgery when she was 18. So it was like, oh, it's just hereditary, you know, all this stuff's hereditary. They give you that hereditary thing. And graduation comes around and I stopped taking all the Vicodin, stopped taking all the Flexerol. It's not helping my pain. It's not doing anything for me, you know, and everyone's always asking you for it. You know, hey, Kim, can I have this? Like, no, it's not, you know, I'm not going to give you drugs, you know. So I got rid of all that stuff and I had the carpal tunnel surgery and I lost so much grip strength. I used to be able to just crush everything and I can now again, but luckily I got that back. And I was like, well, what am I going to do now? I got to work. That's all I got to do is work. I can't go to college now. I can't play sports anymore. I just had this big surgery and no one's going to want to take me for sports, you know? So I guess I'm just going to start working. So I started driving garbage truck and started coaching at the football or at the wrestling. So I started coaching wrestling because my wrestling partner was a year younger than me and he didn't have anybody else to wrestle. No one else was big enough in the school. He was bigger than me. He was about 285, 6'5" though. So he was a little bigger guy, but, I'd go up there and I'd just whoop his butt and wrestle with him all the time. And I'm still staying in shape kind of, but I'm still eating like I did when I was working out three times a day. But now I'm just driving truck, dumping garbage cans, going there once a day, wrestling with him. And I did that till he graduated and then another heavyweight came in. So I kept doing that. And then, I started coaching football also because a football coach was like, hey Cam, since you're up here already coaching wrestling, why don't you help coach the football team? I'm like, oh, might as well, you know? So I'm down there doing that. So luckily that stuff kept me active. And then it was like, still the weight keeps packing on. I get up to about 350 pounds and I'm about 22 at the time. So that was, you know, about almost 4 years of just building up from 260 all the way up to 350. And it's like, I got to lose some weight. I got to diet. What can I do? And I didn't really think about any of that kind of stuff. I let my wife take care of that. I'm like, hey, we need a diet. What can we do? She's like, well, look it up. She looks up. She finds a paleo diet. The paleo diet, you know, a lot of nuts, seeds, eating six times a day. And I'm like, gosh, I don't eat six times a day. I've always missed out on breakfast. I never ate breakfast. I guess I naturally fasted. And I'm like, okay, I guess we'll do that, you know, and eating 200 calories every 2 hours, something like that it was. And it was just snacking. I was just grazing all day long. And luckily I was like, well, I'm going to start running. So I started running again and I got down to about 280. So I lost that 50 pounds, got down to right about 50 pounds, got down to 280. That is more than that. So I was at 350, got down to 280. And then I was like, you know, I want to become a cop. So I'm going to go join the reserves, see if I want to become a police officer. So I started running more. I'm like, okay, I go through the academy, sign up, fill out this big old book, background checks, and all that kind of stuff. And on that paleo diet, I lost a lot of weight, but it still came back, right? I went through the police academy. I was running an 8-minute mile at 280 pounds, running a lot faster than the other guys, but I was always fast. I had these calves that are just massive. And that's probably from resistance training all those years with all that weight. And then the weight started creeping back on once I became a reserve police officer. So now I'm coaching, I'm driving garbage truck and I'm a reserve police officer. So I'm just busy all the time. I can't work out because I'm doing all three things, sometimes in the same day, not falling asleep till midnight, waking up at 2 a.m, go drive a garbage truck, get off of that, go coach, and then back again. And it was just building back up. And I got probably up to another 330 pounds. It's like, oh, we got to do a diet again. What is it? Oh, shoot, right back to the paleo diet. So go back to the paleo diet, lose a couple more pounds, and then again, balloon back up. And I got about let's see, it was probably 330 pounds at 24 years old. And I just had a big old dinner and it was all nothing but fatty pork. And I'm laying down on the couch and I wake up and my heart is just bouncing out of my chest. And I'm like, whew, gosh, I don't feel good. I don't know what's going on. I feel like I'm going to throw up. And I tell my wife, I'm like, hey, my chest just feels really bad. And like, my heart feels like it's skipping a beat. It's just like, boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, call the nurses and see what's going on. So she calls and she tells them what's going on. And they're like, well, he's having a heart attack. I'm like, I'm not having a heart attack. I'm 24 years old. There's no way I'm having a freaking heart attack. And my dad doesn't have heart issues. My grandpa doesn't have heart issues. Like, this isn't a thing. And they're like, oh, you need to come in. So I went in and no joke, I was having AFib, atrial fibrillation. And my lower part of my heart's beating 130. My upper part's beating about 60. And it's just pounding away. And they're like, well, we're going to have to shock you. And I'm like, oh, well, what's that like? They're like, well, it's a lot of jewels going through your heart. We're going to put a patch here and a patch here, and it's going to shoot through your, and we're going to jolt your heart back into rhythm. So they hooked me up and lay on the table and we with some drugs. I'm sitting there looped out of my mind and telling stories. And they hit me with that and I bit my tongue. And then they were like, oh, we're going to hit you again. They hit me again. And I was not realizing I probably should have been out. And I wasn't out. Because later on I had a few more, which we'll get into that. But, so they hit my heart back into rhythm and I was like, okay, I guess I better start taking care of myself. Stop drinking coffee, stop drinking energy drinks. I was drinking those 5-hour energy drinks about 2 or 3 a day because I was working so much. And the next 2 years, I didn't drink any coffee, wasn't having any energy drinks, and just kept that steady weight though. I never lost any weight after that. And we decided to move to Wyoming because I'm like, you know, I got to stop doing the reserve thing. I got to stop working so much. I need to take care of my health. So let's move away, go to a different job. It's a different garbage driving job in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And I was promised, you know, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. And I show up and it started out good, you know, and I'm pretty good at routing and stuff. So he's like, I want you to reroute all the routes and make sure all the other guys are efficient. So I do that and I start to balloon up because now I'm in an automated truck. I'm not getting out. I'm not dumping cans by hand. And I'm just sitting in the truck with a joystick, just dumping the garbage cans. And the hours just kept getting longer and longer and longer. And it was 12-hour days and it takes an hour to get up to work and an hour to get back. So that was 14-hour days minimum. And then some days would be longer because someone was sick. So I was getting 16-hour days sometimes, but it was mainly 12-hour work days and then 2 hours of driving. And what do you do when you're just sitting there in the truck and you can't do anything else and no radio or anything? Well, you snack. I'm sitting there just snacking all day long and just crap, chips, just tons of processed garbage. And the ballooning started coming up and I just started gaining the weight. And you really don't notice you're gaining the weight when you're looking at yourself in the mirror every day. Because the change isn't instant. It's just slowly over time. But then when my family would see me, because now I'm living 16 hours away from home, we'd go back home. They're like, okay, we're getting a little big, you know? And it's like, oh yeah, but I feel fine. I'm good, you know? Eventually my hours are going to get lower. I'm going to be able to start working out again. And of course that never happened. And I started having sleep issues really bad. I couldn't fall asleep. I'd wake up every hour. Sleep apnea, I guess you'd call it, right? I was not breathing in my sleep and snoring a lot. And I'd wake up and all of a sudden I'm falling and I'm like, well, heck, I was just in bed, but now I'm falling head first right into the counter, boom, or into the wall, boom. And every couple nights I'd wake up just falling. And it was cause I started sleepwalking, cause I couldn't stay asleep. And it got really bad. I was starting to be narcoleptic. I'd be sitting there talking to somebody and I just slowly start falling asleep. And I was like, gosh, I don't know what's going on, you know? And I never even thought about the weight thing. And then eventually go to the doctor. Hey man, I'm not sleeping good. I'm having issues. I'm getting cuts in my head. I'm starting to hallucinate, you know? And they're like, well, you need to lose weight. So we try the paleo diet again. Nothing didn't work. And then I was like, you know, let's try something different. And this guy, Sean Baker, came on and he had the carnivore diet. And so we're like, oh, let's try that, you know. And my little brother, he was about the same issue with me, but he was 200 pounds lighter. He was about 240 pounds. So 5'7". If you looked at him, you looked at me when we were growing up, you'd think he was my son. We're almost identical. He's 7 years younger than me. And he was like, well, I'll do it too, you know. And he did it. And I did it for about a month, but we were still just housing nothing but processed garbage meat. It was protein, but it was not carnivore. And he kept with it and started losing some weight. But then I kept having worse and worse health issues. And at one point, the doctor's like, hey, Cam, you know, you need to have surgery. I'm like, well, you know, I'll think about it. You know, I was like, I'm going to still try to beat it with the diets. I'm going to try doing different diets. And one day I was driving the garbage truck and I see this guy walk across the road and I slam on the brakes and I blink and he's not there. And I'm like, I can't drive anymore. There's a point. I just can't do it. My health is so bad. I'm like, I'm seeing people on the road that aren't even there. Or maybe he was there and I slammed on the brakes and I fell asleep. I don't know what happened. So it's one of those things, still a mystery today. Was I hallucinating or did I actually see somebody? But so I had to stop driving and I'm like, okay, if I can't drive, I can't make money. We got to figure something out. So me and the wife had a big talk and I was to the point where I'm like, God, I just can't do anymore. I'm just beat. I can't sleep. I'm hallucinating. I got insomnia. I got all these health issues. I was having bad, diarrhea. And the doctors tell me you need to have fiber. I'd have fiber. And in my diarrhea, there was blood, tons of blood. And this was going on for a few years. And I'd take the fiber and then it was just blood, but it was hard blood. It never got rid of the blood. It was just making it more solid. And I'm like, none of this stuff is working. I don't know what to do. You know, I kind of just want to give up. It's just too much. The doctor already told me when I was growing up, I'm double my age and I'm almost 30. I'm practically 60 years old. I'm only 28, you know? And I was like, we got to move. So we packed everything up and we drove up into North Idaho and we were looking around for places to move and talking to friends. We knew a couple of people that lived up there and we came through this small town. I'm like, oh, this is it. This is where I want to go. So let's move here. So we packed everything up after a month, just instantly, let's just move. Moved up there and started a business, the Pickled Kitchen, all related about olive oils and pickled things. And my wife started doing that and I was going to stay home and just focus on my health. I couldn't work and actually focus on my health. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to stay home with the kids and I'm going to focus on health. And for the first few months living there in 2019, I tried juicing and that didn't work. My wife gained a few pounds cause she was going to do the juicing with me. And I gained more weight and I never knew how much I weighed because all the doctors' places I was at in Wyoming or in Idaho, they never had a scale big enough to weigh me. You know, I'd probably have to go down to the cattle yard to get weighed. And I had a aphid situation again. And I'm like, gosh, this is just getting bad. Like, I don't know why it's coming back, you know? And it's like, I never even thought about it, the weight I was putting on my heart, all that pressure from the fat. And so they gave me a shock and, okay, we're good. Let's get back at it. And we go down to see family in Oregon and I have another AFib situation and my mom's worried. Grandma's worried. Everyone's worried. Because at that point, I finally got weighed at a hospital that had a scale big enough. Now it's 440 pounds. And they're like, man, you need to have surgery. And I was like, you know, I really don't want to do that because it's so invasive. There's so many things that can go wrong. And then I won't be able to eat as much. And, you know, food's a big deal to a big guy. I must've been eating a lot. I thought, you know, I wasn't, it was just the stuff I was eating and they shocked me again. And I get back. Okay. Heart's back, ready to go. And, we go back up to Idaho and I go see a bariatric specialist and, talk to them. They're like, yeah, you need to have the surgery. And I was like, well, let me talk to a few other doctors. So I talked to a few other doctors and they're like, no, you need to have surgery. Your heart is about to go. It's going to give out. And I'm like, I don't want to do it. You know, I really don't want to do it. And it's like, but I got to be here for my family. I can't die. You know, if I die, my kids are going to be fatherless. My wife's going to be a widow. I can't do that. My grandma would be devastated. My mom, everyone would be devastated, you know. And I was like, okay, I'll do the surgery. What do I got to do? They're like, you got to lose 60 pounds in 6 months. I'm like, okay, 10 pounds a month. Whoa, 10 pounds a month. What do I got to eat? And they give me this list of stuff you got to eat. You can't eat over 1,200 calories a day. You got to make sure you have 90 grams of protein and 64 ounces of water. And that was it. That was the main things they told you. You got to have these two things. I'm like, well, if I decide to have those two things, I'll just do those two things. I'll just make sure I get 90 grams of protein and drink 64 grams of water or 64 ounces of water. And so I took these Walmart brand protein shakes. And they're about 30 grams of protein each. So I just drink three of those a day. And I did that for 4 months and I lost 100 pounds. And I went back for my appointment early because I had lost so much weight. And they were just astounded. Oh my God, how did you lose 100 pounds in 4 months? I'm like, well, I just ate, you know, your thing. I ate 90 grams of protein and drank my water. And after about 2 weeks, it got pretty easy. I wasn't hungry after 2 weeks. So I guess I was technically almost fasting that whole time. And it was about 400 something calories was all I was taking in a day. And I was like, you know, guys, I think I can keep doing this. And they're like, oh, you need to have the surgery. I'm like, I don't know, guys. I feel pretty good. You know what I mean? I think I could just keep doing this until, you know what I mean, I lose the weight. Like, that's all the surgery is going to do is make it so I can't eat as much, you know? And they're like, yeah, but, you know, with your history of gaining weight and losing weight, you're not going to be able to do it. And I'm like, I don't know. I kind of have a different mindset. Like, I wasn't dying before when I was losing weight. And they're like, no. And I was like, well, I'm going to go talk to my cardiologist. I went to talk to him. He's like, you should probably have the surgery, Cam. I'm like, okay. You know, is it my life on the line still? And he's like, yeah, you don't want to die. You want to do this. So I was like, okay, I'll go have the surgery. So I go back in, have the surgery. And they're just like, you're the poster child of losing weight before your surgery. You lost so much weight before. No one ever loses their weight usually. And I'm like, okay. And I get the surgery, come out, and I'm still on that liquid diet pretty much for another month or so. And then I can start introducing foods. And I start introducing foods, and it's the classics, veggies, low fat, protein. And I started doing that for about 6 months after, and I lost about another 100 pounds, about 326 when I had the surgery. I got down about 230. And 6 months after that surgery, I go into AFib again, and I'm like, you gotta be freaking kidding me. I'm like, this is just pissing me off at this point. Like, I lose all this weight and I'm still having this issue. So I go down to the emergency room and I say, hey man, I'm in AFib. I'm going to need a shock. And he's like, are you sure? You know, let's get you checked out. I'm like, I know what I'm talking about. You know, I've been in this before. It's not my first rodeo. And so he's like, oh, he's laughing. He hooks me up and he's like, oh yeah, you're an AFib. Okay, we'll just get you shocked, get you out of there. So it only took about 2 hours. Got me in, shocked me, came out. And I'm like, I got to start researching. I'm like, before I was just going through the main line. This is what they tell you. You got to eat this. I'm like, I'm just going to start looking into what I need. Because now I've got this small, tiny stomach. I can't eat as much food, but I'm not getting enough nutrients because I'm losing all my muscle. I'm like, what do I need to not lose that muscle? And I find out it's fat and protein. That's all I need. I need fat and protein. So I didn't really focus on straight meat and straight animal-based fats, but I started easing into it and getting to that point where I'm feeling better. I'm still losing weight. I'm not losing this fast, but I'm losing weight. I'm like, hey, I'm not even eating as much. But I'm eating the right things, and I was making these protein coffees, and I wasn't having caffeine. I was having decaf because I was just really worried about my heart. And, I was taking metoprolol, I think it's called, the heart medication. And, I don't want to get my heart over a certain amount. So I wasn't working out. I wasn't doing anything, you know, really hard. If I was jogging, my heart rate was under 100, you know what I mean? Working out, same thing, because I don't want to have another heart attack. You know, I don't want to have that AFib hit me again. Getting shocked sixth time wouldn't be good. And it was a long process going through research, finding out what I didn't want to eat, what was poison, finding out all the nutrients and plants. And this guy says lectins are bad, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to stay away from lectins. You know, so I'm going to eat all these other foods. And then finding out these other ones are high in oxalates. And I'm like, boy, that guy had lectins, didn't tell me that these things had oxalates in them, but he told me the lectin ones were bad, but he's not telling me the oxalate ones are bad. Okay, I'll do this. And then you find out about phytates. And I'm like, what is going on? This guy's saying lectins are bad, but he's not saying oxalates are bad. This guy's saying oxalates are bad, but he's not saying lectins are bad. This guy's saying phytates and so on. And I'm just like, these guys don't know what the heck they're doing. So I guess I'll just put it together myself. So I start putting everything together myself. I'm like, okay, I'm going to avoid all these foods, and I'm just going to stick with protein and fat. And I'll have certain things sparingly. So I did this thing where I'm like, everything I'm going to eat is going to be fat, protein, everything else comes last. And so I had to focus on making sure I get my fat, my protein, and then around dinner time, maybe I'd have some little bit of carb, maybe some rice or something like that. And I was never really into too much of the sugar things. I never really liked birthday cake or anything like that growing up. Ice cream and all those kind of things. It was mainly the breads. The breads were the pastas, those things, the little things that really got me. And one day my little brother called me because he was still doing very similar carnivore, but he was still mixing in zucchini and broccoli and things and with his meals, but he was just really high protein. And he calls me, he's like, Cam, he's like, man, I'm down to 132 pounds from 240 pounds. I'm like, wow, dang, man, that's great. You know, like, that's a lot of weight. And he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm muscular. He's like, but I'm weak. I cannot pack out the elk anymore like I used to. I come from a hunting family background, and I'm like, well, what are you eating? Tell me what you're eating. He's like, well, I'm just eating nothing but elk and deer, man. That's all I'm eating. I'm like, well, what are you putting with that? And he was like, I'll put in some zucchini here, put in some broccoli here, different things. And I'm like, well, there's no fat in that meat. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, dude, you need that fat. Like, that's the only reason you're not keeping that healthy weight on. I'm like, you're just eating all your muscle away. You're getting weaker. Just because you're eating protein doesn't mean you're going to keep all that muscle. You gotta make sure you have that fat mixed in with it. And he's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, add fat back into it. I'm like, you know what? I own olive and pickle store. I'll send you a bucket of olive oil. So really good olive oil out of Italy. Pure good stuff. None of that crap they're selling at the stores anymore. And pretty much I own a gourmet pickle store. And so I sent him a big old bucket of olive oil. And within 6 months, he's back up to 165 and healthier than ever. He packs out 300 pounds of elk on his back, you know, and he's thriving. He's killing it right now. But he was like, that's all I needed was to add fat. You got to be kidding me. You know, that whole time he was suffering, his head got so small and his ears were still the same size, you know, looked like an elephant. And so we'd make fun of him because of that. And I was like, okay, so we got that down. At least we got that. And I didn't think too much of the vegetables. You know, you're having those little bit of vegetables, it don't matter. And then you started getting into more research. Every time I research something, I'm like, oh, this has got to go. I throw it out the window. Get that thing out of the house. Wife come home, where'd that go? And I threw it away. She's like, why? I'm like, well, because of this. And I started explaining it to her, and she's like, okay, whatever, you know. And I'm like, you know, we need to make everything at home. We can't be buying stuff from the store. All the stuff from the store is just crap. So if you're going to have bread, you got to make it. I don't want you having bread in the house unless we're making it, you know. She's like, okay, so we'll get a bread machine. And she starts making bread. And I'm like, yeah, but we got to get the organic flour. We can't get, you know, just the regular flour from the store. We're going to get the flour from Montana. They're growing the ancient grains and all those kind of things. And so she was doing that. And the kids would have certain stuff like that. Still, they're eating lots of deer meat, lots of elk meat, because that's what we eat. There's a lot of game meat. Of course, adding tons of butter and fat to it, olive oil or butter, whatever we had. And just kept going in more and more and more. I kept doing more research, you know, and started pulling things out. And I'm like, you know, we can't be making the bread. Unless it's sourdough. It's got to be sourdough because we're going to get it. We're going to eat the poisons out of it. We can't, we got to at least some of the poisons out of it. We can't be eating it straight. And she's like, oh, okay, we can do that. You know, and I'm like, same with the veggies. If you're going to have veggies in the house, you got to ferment them. You got to can them. You got to do something with them. We can't have them in the house. And all that stuff I never really ate. Every sparingly, I'd have it, you know. And I got to the point where we're probably 2 years in after my last AFib attack. And I'm like, I'm just going to do some more research, looking around. And I'm just scrolling through Instagram one day. And I see this guy talk about biological diets. And I'm like, oh, biological diet. Okay. Well, what is that? You know? And he's like, you know, a gorilla, he eats 40 to 60 pounds of vegetation a day. And he keeps his muscle mass on and he doesn't do anything. He's just walking around eating, you know what I mean? He's not out there lifting these big logs and getting jacked. He's just eating his biological diet. You know what? I'm like, you know, I'm still not working out. I'm doing, I think a workout to me is lifting a lot of weight. So when I'm thinking working out, I was running about 2 miles a day and I was doing pushups and sit-ups. To me, that's not working out. That's just living, you know? And so I was doing that and I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this theory. I called my brother. I'm like, you know what, dude, I'm not going to work out for a year. I'm just going to eat nothing but meat and fat. And sometimes I'll have something that my wife will make. And, but it was very not often. I'd be 30 days carnivore and then I'd have something and that'd be 30 days carnivore and I'd have something. And someone started calling me a moderator because I can moderate my food. I could eat something and not keep eating that thing over and over again. And I'm like, well, because it's not good for you. You know what I mean? I was like, I had it because it was just convenient and convenience has killed America, killed pretty much the rest of the world. That's pretty much why everyone's dying is convenience. And, so I was like, I got that stuck in my head. I'm not going to eat for convenience anymore. I'm just going to eat for me. And so I did that for a whole year and I didn't keep doing pushups. I didn't keep running, but I kept running around with the kids and doing all that kind of stuff. Helped coach in wrestling down here, in Sandpoint and stuff like that. And so I'm still very active, but I wasn't working out and a whole year came around and I was like, you know, I want to go to this fishing spot. It's a 12-mile hike up this mountain, you know, starting at probably 2,400 elevation up 7,000. And, I'm like, you know, I'm going to hike up there and check it out for a buddy of mine. And so I hike up this mountain. And I got 80 pounds in my pack. I didn't weigh it before I left. I should have weighed it before I left and made it a little lighter. But I hike up this mountain and I'm like, holy cow, this is a good hike. You know, like, I don't think my buddy's going to be able to make this hike because I don't think I want to do it again, but I'll do it again if he wants to, you know. And I go up to the top of that mountain. I'm like, okay, this is a nice spot, good fishing hole. And I was like, oh, I got time. I'm going to make it back down the hill. And I start heading back down the hill. And the only water source was at the bottom of the mountain and then 12 miles up at the top of the mountain. And I ran out of water when I got up there. So I'm heading back and I'm starting to get dehydrated. And I'm like, okay, this is it's getting a little tough. I'm starting to cramp up. About 6 miles down, I was full body cramp. And I was telling myself, you know, if I stop, I'm not going to make it down the hill. And I don't know if I'm going to make it down in the morning. So I'm just going to keep going. I text my wife, hey, my phone's going to die. Just let you know, I'm here just in case you don't get a hold of me. So I start hiking down this hill. And my whole body, my arms are cramped, my back, my legs, just a full body cramp for 6 miles. And it probably took me 3 hours to get down that hill. I took my boots off because my feet started to swell up and I was wearing just my tennis shoes. My tennis shoes are starting to blow up the sides. And I should have just went barefoot probably, but I had that heavy pack on. And I get down to the bottom and I fall in the creek and I'm like, God, that was tough. And I hop in the truck and I'm sitting there. I'm like, God, you know, that was a lot easier than it should have been. There's no way I would have done that a couple years ago, especially not working out for a whole year. And I get home and I'm still pretty sore. I'm still cramping up a little bit, you know, and the next day I was fine. I'm like, you know, I'm a little sore, but I'm not. Like, how am I not dying? Like, I would have been out for a whole week and a half if this was 2 years ago. And I was like, was it my diet? Was it the way I was eating? I'm like, It has to be. That's the only thing that makes sense. I'm like, that's what that guy was talking about. Lo and behold, I didn't know who the guy was until recently. It was Anthony Chafee. Dr. Anthony Chafee said that about the gorillas. And I never, I guess, followed carnivores. I knew about carnivore stuff because of Paul Celandino. And then he went all fruity. And I was like, oh, whatever, you know, I don't want to be part of that. And then there was the Liver King. And I was like, this guy's freaking nuts. You know what I mean? And people are like, yeah, he's natural, man. And I'm like, I don't know if you've ever seen anybody on steroids or know anything about steroids. That guy's on steroids. I'm like, yeah, sure, he's eating good. I think he's eating good. I think he's eating great. I'm like, but he's on steroids, guys. He ain't going to look like that. You know what I mean? And me and my brother would joke about it all the time. We're like, yeah, I don't know why everyone's thinking this guy's clean. You know, this guy's not clean. And so I never followed carnivore. I never followed the plant guys. I would listen to all of them, but I couldn't believe them because of the medical system, the way they failed me. And I felt completely betrayed. Every time I would research something, I'm like, my doctor told me to take this. But this thing was hurting me. You know what I mean? And I didn't need to have the surgery. All I had to do was eat the right thing. I was supposed to eat my biological diet. And I'm like, this is just insane. And so I've pretty much been stuck with it since then. And every once in a while, petering off because the wife made a really high protein pizza, even though it has that little thin crust of sourdough, you know, it's like every once in a while I'd have a piece. But even then the next day, I'm just like, why did I eat that? You know, I don't feel good. I never felt horrible. You know, I can still do everything normally. But anytime I would have a carb, I'd have this big jump up and then down. So I started making her, when she was starting all the healthy food making, I had her make, everything was high protein. She'd mix whey protein into everything. And it was like, oh, it was a waffle, but it was organic. It was 13 grams for that waffle, you know, and I'd have that waffle and within 10 minutes, I'm on the couch falling asleep. And, I'm like, I just don't do carbs, you know, I'm like, that's the way it makes me feel. I don't do them. And if I do it, it's as a tool where I'm like, I can't fall asleep. Well, if I have a carb, I'll fall asleep. I'll put me in the dirt. And so I just pretty much just started petering off all that stuff. And after going through that hike, that year of not working out and still coming back, I can still do 50 push-ups. I can still run my 7-minute mile. And I'm like, God, this is amazing. I'm like, who would not want to just do this? I'm like, this is what it is. And I called my brother. I'm like, hey, man, you need to stop eating those zucchinis. You need to stop putting this stuff in your food. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, man. I'm like, you know, I didn't think nothing of it that much because, you know, it's just a little bit. It's just a little bit. But a little bit goes a long way. And it was eye-opening to him even. He's like, oh, I feel amazing. You know what I mean? And he does a lot of shows. He works for this company called Kafaru. They own backpacks. And they sell American-made backpacks. And he goes all these shows to sell the packs. And he's like, you know, he's like, I go and these guys are eating all this crap. And he's like, I have nothing to eat on these trips. He's like, what do I do? I'm like, well, don't you guys like, you guys travel, you don't fly, you know? I was like, take your cooler. Just take your meat with you. And you guys get Airbnbs. Cook it when you're there, you know? He's like, yeah, you're right. Maybe I should do that. So he's going with the Airbnb and he's bringing all his meat. With him. He eats nothing but game meat. And that's what we all eat. We eat nothing but game meat. I haven't bought beef in a long time. Game meat and then pork. I got a neighbor who has pork and we, I get about a pig and a half, 2 pigs a year from him. And just the difference in how you feel. I think people would go carnivore if they knew how you feel. I felt just horrible my whole entire life. And I didn't know it because that was the norm. That was my normal feeling. And I try telling people all the time, I'm like, you know, I was like, you think you feel fine. I know tons of guys that are just completely ripped and they're like, I feel great. And I'm like, you think you do? I'm like, until you change it. I'm like, I bet you if you cut this out and you ate nothing but meat and fat, I bet you you'd be like, oh, Cam, I feel amazing now. I didn't realize I could feel this good. I'm like, yeah, because you've had this baseline of feeling like crap for so long. That's your normal feeling. You just feel that's feels good. And I'm like, I know because I lived that life. I lived that life of feeling good and it never was. It wasn't feeling good. It was just me thinking I felt good because of mainstream media. And I think more people would change if they could feel the way I feel. And I tell people all the time, I'm like, you know, if you knew what was in my head about all the crap that they're feeding us, all the lies they've told us, and if you could feel how I feel, you would go carnivore today. There's no doubt in my mind you would go carnivore instantly if you felt how I felt and knew what I knew. And they're just like, oh, I don't know, you know, and then they do it.
It's a brilliant story. And Cameron, I didn't want to interrupt, and it's just for people to know, this is the first time you've ever done this. That was very coherent and linear, and it had all the details. So I didn't dive in with any questions because you were literally answering the questions I had in my head that were coming up. And so brilliant. Firstly, that's brilliant. That's a great interview. Really like that. And of course, as you're talking, I will be putting some photographs up so people can see you at 440. What do you weigh now at the moment?
I weigh 180 pounds.
And you've settled at that weight? Is that a weight you feel comfortable with?
That's the weight I feel comfortable with right now. Winter is going to be over, and then I'll probably lose another 10 pounds. I'm pretty good now. I know how to adjust to lose and gain just through experiments. I've done a lot of experiments with foods where, you know, I'm like, before I did that year of pretty much strict carnivore, I was experimenting a lot, you know, where I was like, you know, someone's like, you can't gain weight on this. And it's like, no, I bet you I can, you know, and I'd gain 10 pounds in about 2 months. They're like, how'd you do that? I'm like, I'll lose it in a month. They're like, what? And I'm like, I could probably lose it in a couple of weeks. And they're like, no. And I'm like, yeah, I'll show you. So I do it and I'd lose the weight. And they're like, God, how do you do that? And I'm like, it's just doing the math, adding everything together. And I could probably not eat for days now that my mindset, you know what I mean, on survival and knowing everything I know about fat and how it stores in your body. And
yeah, that was interesting because, you know, the rabbit starvation is a phrase, and that's just when people eat rabbit, there's no fat. And when you're not eating fat, you get no bile, and therefore you can't absorb your amino acids. So you could be eating tons of food if you haven't got the fat. And again, it improves sort of hormonal influences on weight gain. If you are eating tons of meat or protein, lean protein, you're not going to feel great. I just want to go through a checklist. The list of things you told me you've suffered all throughout your life, and obviously they haven't reappeared recently. Do you feel they've all gone, like the sleep apnea, insomnia, narcolepsy, hallucinations, eyesight decreasing, sleepwalking, blood in your poop? Has that all resolved now?
Yeah, all that stuff's gone. I'm pretty much 100%. About maybe a year after my last AFib, I went to my cardiologist, and he told me never come back. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, dude. He's like, I don't need to see you ever again. He's like, maybe in 40 years, if you have another AFib attack, you can come back. He's like, I won't be here, but you know, you can see another cardiologist. And I'm like, oh, I was like, well, I don't plan on going back then. I was like, I'm glad to hear it. I still see my doctor, every year, get a blood test done, to make sure everything's going good. Cause like I said, I couldn't trust anyone at that point. I'm just like, I can't trust vegans, I can't trust mainstream, I can't trust carnivore, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not believing anybody. I'm gonna do my own research. I'm not gonna follow anybody until I finished all my research. And then I was like, okay, I'm gonna start following these guys, you know. That's when I started following you and meeting up with a bunch of other guys, just trying to be part of the community, because I'm like, I was gonna stay out of it. And I'm like, I'm still about 4 years out before I ever want to do anything, help people coach wise but I'm like, I guess I need to tell my story. Because everyone keep telling me, I need to tell my story.
Your story is incredibly inspirational. There was one thing I wanted to just check, because people really listen intently to these stories. And you mentioned something about when you were having the operation, they gave you some drugs, but you weren't properly out. And you said, well, maybe I'll come back to that. What was you referring to there?
So they're supposed to give you NSAIDs are supposed to give you a drug to put you out. So when you get shocked, you're not awake. Well, I wasn't fully awake. They gave me some, but they didn't give me enough. And that's probably why I bit my tongue. And I didn't realize that at the time that I was supposed to be out completely until the other three times that I got defibrillated, because I was out. I don't remember it at all. It was, you know, and then I'd wake up, I got shocked. Awesome. I'm like, well, the first time I got shocked, I felt it and it hurt. Like, for days afterwards, I had this pain in my chest. And I didn't have that with the other three times. But
That's interesting, actually, because you would imagine that it's the same mechanical thing happening. So you'd have the same pain, but you just didn't know about it. So that's brilliant. So Cameron, I'm going to thank you because, as you know, you've seen some of my interviews. I do about 45 minutes. And some people often say to me, you need to jump in and ask other questions. Well, today I didn't because it was just fascinating. And I think with the images as well, it's going to be an amazing video. But the audio podcast, I tell you, it's just a brilliant story, and I might put a PDF link to the audio so people can see the incredible difference. But you've heard about all the health benefits. So Cameron, thanks very much for your time.
Yeah, well, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Your support means the absolute world to me. And if you're enjoying the show, I've got a small favour to ask you. I'd be incredibly grateful if you would consider becoming a supporter and make a small monthly donation. Your contribution will really help to improve the show. I'll be able to improve the software, maybe put a few more episodes out, and do many things that I'm hoping to do in the future. Do them a lot quicker. So, it's a small monthly contribution. You can cancel at any time, and the link is in the show notes. Thanks very much for listening.